This episode of Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who Assume Things About Each Other is brought to you by Alberta Association of Optometrists, proudly celebrating a century of caring for Albertans. It happens. One in four school-age kids has a vision problem, yet 80% of learning is visual for a child. That's why booking family eye exams with an optometrist helps ensure learning success. You can't detect hidden eye problems, but your optometrist can. Alberta Health Coverage Towards annual eye exams is available until your child's 19th birthday. Book your family's eye exam today at optometrists.ab.ca. The Alberta Association of Optometrists represents almost 800 doctors of optometry in over 80 communities across the province. Members are highly trained, regulated health professionals who provide primary eye health and vision care to Albertans. Learn more at optometrists.ab.ca. Bridging the gap between generations who assume things about each other.
Hello and welcome to our podcast of Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who assume things about each other. I am your guest host, Thomas Love.
Oh, and I'm Thomas Love's co-host, Karen Johnson Diamond. We're the giggly ones. I'm super, super excited to have my fabulous guest host here, Thomas Love. You'll remember him from episode one, as well as our 1 year anniversary episode. I've known Thomas for like at least a year now. So we go way back. Hey, Thomas? Well, come on. Tell me two things you know about me.
You really like Neil Diamond and you wear glasses, I guess.
Yeah. And you wear glasses and you do not despise your sister. That's what I know about you.
Yeah.
So see, what else is there that either one of us needs to know about the other? Nothing else.
Not really. You just make it general. That's it.
Yeah, I think that's it. And you are my guest host today because my darling co-host, Stephanie Wolf, who you have spoken to a number of times, is doing a show in Edmonton at the Citadel Theatre running until October 10th called The Garneau Block by Belinda Cornish. The Garneau Block by Belinda Cornish at the Citadel Theatre running now until October the 10th. Hey, I just made that up. Anyway, so she's busier than stink. So we decided we would have a guest host. And it's you. Okay, what scares you the most about being a guest host?
I don't know. I think it's pretty much the same as being the guest, but you get to say the intro.
Yep, that's right. Oh, but also you get to ask our guest
the important questions.
The important questions. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And since I happen to know our guest quite well, he may or may not be my own son, Griffin, who is 25 years old. Let's see if I can do it. I'm going to try to just sit back and shut up and listen and see what you can get out of him that I didn't already know about him.
Mm.
Deal?
Okay.
So I'll introduce him and then... No, you introduce him. You introduce him and please make up three things about him that like are completely just off the top of your head. Like he's the first man to ever weave a basket underwater. He can recite the entire Bible and blah, blah, blah. You can make up three things about him.
Okay. I know I haven't been introduced yet, but I want to make it clear, Thomas, that you can't use those two. You have to make up three new ones.
Okay. All right. Our guest for this podcast today is Griffin Cork. Hello.
Hello. I am waiting to hear my three facts before I delve into my 20-minute monologue.
Okay, three facts. You can lift a live hippopotamus. Mm-hmm. You can karate chop remotes open. And you can sew really well.
Wow. Okay, I'll take all three of those. I'm thinking about karate chopping a remote open, and that's maybe the most impressive one. Like, whenever things are smaller, they're harder to snap. That's the whole... It's why it's hard to bend a dime or a quarter. Anyway, I don't think I've ever been in a podcast where I know what the ad was, so I just want to say that I'm here as a representative of the Alberta Optometrists Association, and I just want to apologize for doing a quick ad for Citadel Theatre. My two bespectacled friends here on this call really crapped the bed on this one.
I just snorted.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I know Thomas is about to drill into me with a whole bunch of questions, but I do have one for him. Is that all right, Thomas?
Yeah, sure.
Why is it, do you think, that it's been a full year before my mother has asked me to come on her own podcast?
Maybe because you were busy with some important other stuff.
That's very optimistic, Thomas, and I appreciate that worldview. Some might say that she's not interested in me or my generation because all her assumptions about me, she is instilled in me.
Or maybe, yeah, that makes more sense.
Wait, no, I want to hear what you were going to say.
Well, maybe she's been hanging out with you for so long that she most likely knows most about you.
I see. Assumptions become knowledge. Yes, that's true.
I really like your one better, but, you know.
I'll tell you the reason. It's because I do know absolutely everything about Griffin. In fact, I can tell you right now that what I assume about Griffin, and I know to be true, is that he is never, ever once driven too fast in his car. He does not ever imbibe alcohol, and he always goes to bed at a reasonable hour and listens to quiet, soothing music at all times. Am I right, Griff?
The unfortunate truth of this, Thomas, is some of these myths that she just said have been dispelled on our podcast, The Breakfast Dish.
Oh, wait, Griffin, do an ad for The Breakfast Dish right now, quick.
Hey, everybody. It's Griffin Cork, the third guest host. I'm taking over the podcast to say, listen to The Breakfast Dish. We talk about eggs until we don't.
Okay, speaking of eggs, I'm going to start with my first assumption, and then I'm going to shut up, Thomas.
All right.
My first assumption, this is for both of you. I assume even at 12, nearly 13, and Griffin is 25, so I'm assuming 25 and
25, nearly 13.
Nearly 13, yep. I assume both of you would much rather stay in bed every single morning than get out of it. Griffin, am I right?
Yes. next question. This show's easy. I'm winning.
Thomas?
Okay, I think I would prefer to stay in bed longer than I usually do, but still have to get up at one point because I don't think I could handle staying in bed the entire day.
I remember I used to want to get, like, when did I, Mother, when did I start wanting to sleep in? Because I feel like I always used to get up very early. Of course, on like Christmas and stuff to get you guys up. But there was a point in my childhood where I would get up early just so I could play computer games before school. And you had to be like, you have to stay in bed till at least 7.
I would say about 11 or 12. 11 or 12 is when you discovered computer games, and then you were just like, I'm getting up at 4 so I can play till 7.
Okay. When did your school start? Like, what time?
That changed a lot, but usually it started at like 8:55. And the sneaky part about it is that I lived 40 steps away from my front door of the school. So I could leave at 8:52, and that's fine.
Wow. That's really lucky. I have to get up at 6:30 to get there for 8:30.
Wow.
Not really. I have to get up at 6:30 to like arrange my stuff, like make my bed, do whatever hygiene I decide to do. and then get my lunch in my backpack and then head there and practice guitar and stuff.
Oh, but, yeah. When I left elementary school, it was like a 20-minute walk to junior high. And then I decided to switch high schools like a nincompoop. And that was about an hour, 20 minutes travel on bus.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Thomas's dad drives him to school. So
what?
I think his dad's a really slow driver.
Sorry. Is that real?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. My parents made me take the bus all the time. My parents made me take the bus at 12.
12.
I did.
I remember being in Paintbrush for Piccolo and I was 12 and you made me take the bus to Kensington to rehearsal hall. And I remember that because I loved that time because I could play Pokemon on my DS.
Wow. What a terrible mother.
I know. I was 12.
Hold on. At 13 almost, Thomas, have you gone on city transit on your own yet?
No.
You have a better parent than Griffin does.
Certainly you do. Yeah. Yeah.
Much better.
Or it's maybe just the society we are living in, because I have previously learned that in Japan, 7-year-olds are required to take the, well, not required, but encouraged in independence and take the bus at age 5.
They're really chasing after the 7-year-olds to get on the bus.
Yeah.
At 7.
Yeah.
And did you just say starting at 5, they're encouraged to start taking the bus on their own?
Starting at 5, they're encouraged for like more independence. So they go on grocery runs in the local market at 5 years old or whatever, right?
Whoa!
And then at like age 7, the parents will have them walk like 4 blocks and then get on the bus. But the thing is that the crime rate in Japan is a lot less than over here.
Why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I think it's just maybe their mindset about community. Like maybe they include everyone. I don't know. I'm just assuming things.
Maybe they're super street smart because they began their independence at 7. So they're aware and anybody who tries to mug them misses.
Right. Whereas when I was, until I was about like 21, I couldn't take Buckley's medicine without a little candy and a drink of water. So I wonder how easily it is to mug me. Probably pretty easy. Sorry, sir, you look mean. Here's my wallet. God, you look strong. Get away from me.
Hey, give that back.
Where are you going?
I got teased by the other parents at his elementary school because I walked him across the street in grade 6.
Let me also just jump in and say that I was also teased by the students. So, yeah, parent life sounds hard, I guess. But I got wedgy. It's crazy to me that you know facts like the crime rate in Japan at your age. I think at your age, I knew what the strongest kind of wall was in Age of Empires. It goes like wood and then stone and then marble and then metal. I forget now.
Yeah, I would like to see someone try make a wall out of marble.
I was just thinking about that. It can't be marble, right? It really, absolutely. I think that's a soft rock, no, isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's fairly hard, though.
Aren't the columns that hold up rich people's mansions on their front gate or porch, aren't those made out of marble?
I thought those were like fully aesthetic, though. I didn't think those were load-bearing.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. They're probably hollow.
That's why in all the cartoons, you know, the load-bearing marble pillars always get knocked over, and it's a domino effect.
That's right. The classic cartoon load-bearing marble pillars. Man, 12 years old sounds awesome. He just said the society we live in. I think I still found armpit farts funny at 12.
Come on, Thomas, do you think they're funny?
Yeah,
that's classic.
Yeah. You can never, it never gets old. It never gets old. You can't escape it.
Okay. All right, Thomas, make an assumption about Mr. 25 over here.
Okay. I'm going to start with something that first came to my mind. You live on your own, I would guess.
That is correct. But I have a follow-up question. How long do you think I've lived on my own?
Probably maybe 6 years.
Whoa. Okay. So I did an internship with my gap year between university and high school. So I stayed at my parents' place until then. And then all of my years of schooling, I at least had one roommate. So really, I've only been living by myself for like a year and a bit. However,
very nice.
What I will say is now that I am living by myself, it would be very hard to go back to roommates. It's very sweet to be the king of your own castle, certainly.
What do you expect when you go off, if you leave town and go to school somewhere else, do you expect, or do you want a roommate, or do you want a place by yourself, Thomas?
I think I'd prefer a roommate because they would let me know if anything I am organizationally doing wrong, because I am very bad at that. And I've gotten many IPPs like, yeah, this kid needs to sort his binder. Can you just like help him?
What is an IPP?
It's sort of like a check-in thing. Like,
is it like your teacher puts it on your permanent record that your binder's messy?
It's not like, I guess you could say it like that, but it's not a permanent record. It's like a record. It's like a goal setting thing where they get kids to be like, I'm going to sort my binder once a week until January or something like that and see if it's a habit.
I would hate that.
I really liked buying all the organizational supplies. Like one of my favorite things of the school year was going to Staples and doing all the school supply runs and getting like the cool tabs. There was that pen that was like, when I was a kid, there was a pen that was had a little mini computer inside it, or that was a lie and just great marketing. But you could like draw drums with the pen and then play the drums. Like the pen would remember that you just drew drums. I don't know if that's right. I think that was just crazy branding. But I also loved, do you remember those binders, Mom? Zwipe? The ones that had like little mini whiteboards on the front of the binder?
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then about 3 weeks in, I'd forget how to organize everything. So we'd spend like $60 on organization of material every year. And I'd be like, I'm going to do it this year. And I never did. And then by the end of the school year, I burned all my papers in a fire.
Isn't that so satisfying though?
Do you do that too?
No, not really. Even though, yeah, anyway, let's not get into the details.
No, do it.
We're getting into it. You have to start. If you're in a safe, controlled environment with your family and a campfire and a bonfire, there's nothing better than throwing your papers away. Do it, Thomas.
But yeah, I think I've had plenty of chances because we've done, so I was in an outdoor education program last year and this year. And basically the first thing that our teacher gets us to do this year is light a fire in a can.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So he hands a whole bunch of grade eights these knives and he's like, yeah, just like slice up this wood and then light it on fire in a can. And we're like, what? And he's like, yeah, I expect a paragraph and a couple of pictures at the end. You just hand it in. Boom. I'm like, that's like technically the first project you've given us.
You're in grade eight. Here's a knife. Build a fire. I'm just such a worry wart. Like, I would have freaked out at you, right, Griff?
That's not so far from what they made us do in Boy Scouts.
I'm so glad you didn't tell me.
By grade eight, I was doing like my knife permit and my fire permit and my like axe and maul permit.
Yeah, he did this great thing on the first day of school where after options, there was this sign on the door and it said, meet me here. And it's a map of the neighborhood and a highlighted green space. And all of the class like sprinted to that spot, and he was sitting there with his socks off and like holding his hatchet, sort of just like hacking away at the wood that he's holding. And I'm like, how long have you been teaching this?
Right. Also, outdoor ed teacher, you shouldn't be cutting wood with your socks off.
I know, right? it was so good though, because like basically the first thing he said when a kid asked him why his shoes were off, he's like, it's a meditation technique that sort of like grounds you to the earth and calms you down. And I'm like, yeah, I like you. I like
you. Your outdoor ed teacher sounds like a cartoon. Meet me here.
You only pass today's class if you find me.
But like he's gotten such a reputation that like most of the kids in our class are like scared of him.
Totally. Yeah, he ran away from class one time with the hatchet and we had to look for him. My outdoor teacher, I think, just had us in the parking lot one day and we cooked turkey burgers on propane stove. And I think that's the only time we went outside. Outdoor ed was a bad class.
Except this outdoor ed is like an option that lasts the entire year. So like your homeroom is outdoor ed.
Oh, is it? No, it is an option though.
It's like an option, but like you're specifically choosing what homeroom class you're going to be in.
Wow.
So you're like, I can either be in this random regular homeroom class or I could be in this guy's outdoor education program. And if you choose that, then you'll most likely make it because I think they hold like 30 to 35 kids.
Yeah, I probably would have chose that.
Some of them ended switching out because they were really scared of him. Like they were like, yeah. And then actually last year in Peaks, this is the old outdoor education program. This kid showed up for the first day. And then she's like, yeah, no, I'm not ready to be running around all day. Right. So she just like dupes out.
Yeah. I walked in there the first day and there was a live wolf. So I decided to not stay in the class. He was petting it and said it was a meditation technique.
I have a question. I want to go back to Boy Scouts for a second here, Griffin. And you said you got your axe and maul certificate. Is that like both of you having been 13 or are almost 13? Is that like how to do the maul? Like what stores to go to?
Oh, sorry. When you say do the maul, you mean attend, arrive at the maul?
Yeah. what is the best time to hang out at Chinook Center or West Edmonton Mall?
No, I mean, I only knew about this word when I was 13 because of all the nerdy medieval games that I played. It's M-A-U-L, so it means like a big, heavy hammer is what a mall is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Darth Maul. I'm like, what? Ah,
but spelled the same, I think.
Wait, okay. What is it when the kid walks into outdoor ed class and there's a live wolf there and the wolf attacks her? That wolf mauled her. Is that also A-U-L?
Yeah, I think so.
Mauled is, yeah, attack. Yeah.
Just to get back on track here, I am going to make... I'm going to make a couple more assumptions about you, Griffin.
Wow, I'm glad Thomas is focused. Me and Karen are freaking goofing off.
I was the one talking about like meditation techniques of like taking your shoes off.
Don't ever regret that story. That I want that guy to adopt me.
Okay, I am assuming that you party a lot.
Ooh, I do for sure. I mean, less so now. Less so because of COVID, but I certainly used to, absolutely. And it might be because I started going to parties a little bit later than all my friends. I don't think I went to my first high school party until like grade 11. So I think I was trying to make up for lost time.
Okay. I think you still watch cartoons.
I do. I do still watch cartoons.
Okay.
That's
good.
Name me your top three favorite cartoons right now.
I don't know. I'm a general person, just as long as it's not any Lego Frozen stuff, because I've watched like 3 episodes of that, and that's terrible. Having a younger sister, that's what happens.
Do you mean Lego or Frozen, or do you mean specifically you won't watch any Lego Frozen?
Yeah. You wouldn't believe what's out there.
Okay.
So it's like a little Lego block going, let it go, right?
I think the Lego people could still talk normal.
Yeah.
I am blocks. I step into other blocks.
All right. One more assumption. I think most of your meals are microwaved.
Again, this is kind of a used to be thing. And I'll counter that assumption by saying most of my meals are simple to make. How about that?
Oh, so like macaroni and cheese and stuff.
Yeah, I'm a big Annie's mac and cheese guy. Oh boy, I could chow down. Oh, now I'm hungry. Grandma! Yeah, I gotta. Oh man, I'm gonna have some mac and cheese when I get home tonight. Yeah, I still get it as a little treat every once in a while. Those pizza pops. Those like little Pillsbury ones?
I actually haven't had those.
Listen, when you move out with your first roommates, you gotta get some pizza pops. Just once.
So pizza pops are like a go-to thing once I move out.
I had quite a few. Well, the other thing is that my U of L room, which is where I spent my first year of school, didn't have like a stove and an oven. We had a fridge and a microwave.
Ah, yes.
And I was on a meal plan, but you can't use the meal plan for every meal or you run out by, like, December. So, yeah. Yeah, I had a lot of pizza pops and a lot of just pizza.
I want to assume that you have a lot of home-cooked healthy meals, Thomas.
Yes. But I was strictly on a diet as a younger kid of noodles and crackers.
That's all you would eat?
Just pretty much straight up carbohydrates.
The way you phrased it sounds like your parents put you on the diet. Yes, I love healthy home cooked meals. However, I was forced to eat pasta and saltines. Noodles and crackers is a very funny combo.
Yeah, I was a pretty wired kid, and I couldn't go a day without wearing a Batman shirt. So,
I liked shirts with skulls on them.
Yeah,
which was kind of. I was kind of being a poser because I didn't really listen to like heavy metal or rock music or anything, but I bought a lot of paraphernalia from that. For a while there, I was pretty like what you would describe as like emo or scene. Like I had like long, long bowl cut hair. I wore a lot of dog tags. I love dog tags for some reason. I don't know why. That means war. Anyway. And a backwards hat pretty often. Skinny jeans, which put me more on the punk side for sure. Am I right? Was this like 13? Yeah, 13, 14 for this?
Yeah, for sure. What is your go-to 13-year-old wardrobe right now, Thomas?
Yeah, what's your ideal? What's your favorite outfit in your closet right now?
I don't know. I'm usually pretty tired when I choose my outfit, so I just try not to go monochrome, which I have been in my jeans. Pardon the clothes pun. In my jeans, the habit to accidentally go full one color is crazy.
Mm. You mean like in your biological DNA genes, you have the habit of going all one color?
Pretty much, yeah. I will half-mindedly choose, let's say, like blue shorts and then a blue t-shirt. And then I realize I walk out of my room and I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm all the same color.
Do you say jeans because your dad also does a lot of monochrome looks?
yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, J-Lo, you're being called out. It's your fault. I learned it from you. I did a lot of blacks, but that was just because black. I still wear a lot of black. It's usually one item of my clothing because black pants.
I feel
pants
like
goes
black
with,
goes with everything.
Yes, totally. Yeah. 100%.
Also, if you're a 55-year-old woman, it makes you look skinnier. That's all.
Also, if you're a 25-year-old guy who ate a lot of pizza pops in university, it makes you look skinnier. I have one question about food before we move on. I want to know, because this was very prevalent throughout my entire childhood, and while we're kind of on the subject of pizza pops, if there is one food item or snack or treat or something that your parents won't get you, but like all of your friends at school have, and man, you really want it. Is there something like that? I have mine.
It used to be, like, I used to have them, but that diminished, I think, in about grade 4 because I realized the other things people were having in lunches. And as my noodle and cracker diet, I always thought it was quite disgusting.
Interesting.
Okay. I think those, you know, those fruit gusher things, those little gummies with like little gel inside.
Dude, that was mine. That was mine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Fruit gushers. Yep.
And like, I swear everyone had them in grade 1. I would always pass them in the grocery store and be like, oh, there it goes.
Yeah, right? I did the same thing. Kind of just along the line. Maybe mom will stop here. Okay, never mind. Dang it. Oh, man. Yeah, fruit gushers. Those little squeezy pockets of goodness. Man.
Today, I had some fruit gushers, just saying.
Today?
And I didn't have to ask anybody for them. I just had some.
Do you have fruit gushers at home?
I had one package left.
Left? I didn't see. It's been a while since I've been home, but I didn't see any.
Move back home, buddy. Maybe you'll get some fruit gushers.
Okay.
Cartoon voicing. What do you like about it? Tell me about it because I don't do it. So you two tell me what I need to know about it.
Thomas, you go. Because, I mean, very technically, I learned how to do it from your dad. So you have a better insight.
Really, I started out with the flap things. And then I did a short movie without the flaps so that they work, like they animate around my voice. So it's totally different on each side because you get to pronounce words differently and you get to sort of freestyle with it if they're animating around you.
But with the flap one, you're watching a cartoon that's already made and their mouths are just going up and down and up and down and up and down and you have to match it. I gotcha. Okay.
They usually don't play anyone else's parts. Because that would mess you up. But I like when they make that mistake because it sort of comes together and you're like, oh, it sort of looks like a cartoon.
I feel the same way. It's nice when you hear some of the other people who are like dubbing in, like sometimes they throw in their tracks if they went before you, which is nice because if you're in a scene where you're mad and you hear the other person say, calm down, it's either like a calm down or it's like a calm down. So you know how mad you're supposed to get?
Yeah.
Yeah. The two types of VO work, Mother, is ADR and prelay. ADR is when you're matching it to flaps, and prelay is when you get to do it with they animate around you.
Okay.
Yeah. And the matching the flaps, you have to be very good at taking direction because there are some like vocal patterns that people use, and I've been noticing them a lot more. There's like up talk where most of their sentences sound like questions because at the end of the sentence, they bring their voice up to make it sound like they're asking. I've been noticing it and sort of annoys me, but I guess sometimes I do it, which also annoys me. So
I don't know.
Yeah. I do too. This one time at band camp.
The other one is, this is only on all the shows where there's battles and monsters and cards, and you're in a card fight, and you have to go bada da 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 da, and that's so it's always bada. Like, it's even if it's just like a I'm gonna summon this card, right? Like, it's always a cry, always a war statement.
That's why I always get direction on those ones.
What are the things, like, do you ever have to, like, do you get to do all the, like, you get punched in the gut or you get scared by something, like, do you have to do all those sort of reaction sound effects things?
Hey, that was really good.
Thank you very much. I'm auditioning right now. If a character on the cartoon looks surprised or shocked, do you have to go, like, do you have to make all that kind of reaction noises?
I mean, like, if in the script they would say it, but sometimes they can ask you to, or you can throw it in.
Oh, okay.
It's usually the script for me, because I am slightly insecure sometimes with that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird to do.
Yeah, but the other sound effects, like hitting the ground and falling, if it's not on the script, they're probably going to tell you.
Okay. All right.
The one that I do the most, I think, in the script is noticing reacts, which is just your character seeing something. Like, usually they're distracted with something else, and then they look over, and you have to make like a, huh? Or, or, hmm?
Yeah. For some reason, like, they get me to do like a little, hmm, all the time. And I'm like, what? Like, I think they could do without it, but I guess it makes it more relatable.
Okay, I'm going to try that. I'm going to try five reaction noises, like I'm noticing something noises, and then you tell me if I
would. And me and Thomas are going to each say, Thomas will say three things, and I'll say two things, and you'll have to react to them in different ways based on what we said.
Okay, great.
Thomas will go first.
Make sure your mouth is open.
Huh?
Yeah. Don't over-exaggerate it and make it subtle.
What's that? How about this? Tasumi, there's prices on whole wheat bread. Sorry, Karen, there's something wrong with this. The studio's broken, so we actually have to stop recording for today.
Yeah, I think the sounds were kind of...
Yeah, it's just the connection to the director. It's lost, so we got to...
Sorry, you're cutting in and out. Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah, it's not so me. I'm not doing a bad job. You're just
no.
Something technically wrong?
No, okay. I bet you're spectacular. We just haven't heard your full thing.
Well, I have one more.
No, you don't...
Yeah, so sorry. Yeah, it's something with the connection, definitely.
Okay, Griffin, move your mouth and I'll do the... ADR.
This isn't going to play on our audio format.
It is. It is. Okay. I'm going to do Griffin flapping his mouth and I'm going to do what he's saying.
Okay. Ready?
Okay. Yeah. My mother is super awesome.
Okay. Yeah. For all those of you listening at home, I was kind of crying and holding a dead iguana. So I'm not sure why my mother said that, but.
Oh, that was an iguana? I thought that was like some other snake.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that the snake ate the iguana, so all I can really do is hold up the snake. So.
Okay, you flap your lips, Thomas. I'm going to say what you're saying now.
Okay.
I'm just wanting to eat more pizza pops.
You did like two syllables for more pizza pops.
Yeah, for those listening at home, Thomas flapped his mouth for about 3 seconds. Karen went on a 15-second
rant. Karen's still talking.
Which sometimes you have to do. Sometimes the translation works out where you hear them go, ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba. And then you have to go, you have betrayed me and I will never forget this horror for me or my family. just shove lines in.
Yes, why do anime people always end up talking after their mouth closes?
That's right. That's been a thing, actually, going back to my generation. It's kind of like an on-running trope in the world. Like, everyone thinks about that whenever is a voiceover of another film, you always see the people talking and then the voice goes afterwards. Or the talking happens, you hear the English, but then you see the, even in live action voiceover. Anyway, I'm boring myself.
I'm going to take a page out of Thomas's book and get us back on track here.
You're right, we do.
And okay. I need to say my two assumptions. Thomas, my assumption is that you play a lot of video/computer games.
I do not.
Dang it.
I was given an Xbox One. And, like, it was cool for a couple weeks, and then I don't think I've played it for a couple months now.
Holy crap. Okay. I played a lot of Age of Mythology. It doesn't matter. My second assumption is...
Griffin is slightly put down by this answer.
My God. Yeah, who are you? Who is this? Who is this guy?
Get away from me.
My second assumption is you or somebody you know does magic tricks. You or somebody you know in your generation, in your age group, does magic tricks.
Nope. Nothing.
Really?
Got nothing.
There was like five kids in my school who did it. I was one of them. I was a little magic nerd.
Okay, I really suck at magic. Sadie.
Sadie's his little sister.
Yeah. Sadie can whip out this like coin or whatever toonie thing. And then she like flips it through her fingers and then it like disappears and she blows it off her hand. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I don't even know how to do that.
Yeah, she teaches me how to do it. It's just the French drop. And like I botch it every time. Like I drop for the sure. coin or like. Or like, you know, I hold it up and then I go like, and then it's still there. I'm just assuming that it happens, you know?
There's that great scene in the very first Pirates of the Caribbean when they start turning skeleton and he like moves the doubloon between all of his fingers. Do you remember that?
I actually haven't seen Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, that happens. And then I was like, yeah, that's crazy. There must be like some animation. And I had a friend in my class go, no. And then he just did it like with a loony. And I went, what?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
Sadie is 10, right?
Yep.
So she's doing magic, so maybe the generation starts sooner.
When did I start?
I don't actually remember. I don't remember.
All right.
I'm old. I'm 55. I don't remember much.
I think it was around 10.
Okay, Thomas, don't tell Griffin I said this, but I think you can probably still go on YouTube and look for his YouTube channel where he was showing his magic tricks.
I don't think you can. I don't know that.
Oh, wait. I'm going to try and search this up right now. What's it called?
It was called, do you remember, Mom?
Subject Ace. Right?
Oh, dang. I thought you forgot.
That was your handle or the username, or is that the name of the YouTube channel?
I guess both, technically.
And it'll be like a 13 or 14-year-old Griffin, which is about when I let him have computer privileges.
She let me go on Facebook when I was 13.
Only if he was my friend. And that's proved to be terrible.
Yeah. I do a lot of party posts.
See anything, Thomas?
No, I got nothing.
I think when I started trying to be too cool, I deleted all the videos, and now I do regret it.
Yeah. Mommy would like to see those.
There's still a Twitter that is under my name that is at the handle at Subject Ace.
Is there any videos of you doing magic on it?
No. It's just a grim reminder of what I once was.
This episode of Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who Assume Things About Each Other is brought to you by YAG Podfest 2021. The YAG Podfest is presented by Edmonton Community Foundation in partnership with the Alberta Podcast Network and LitFest, Canada's nonfiction festival. Running October 1st through 3rd, YAG Podfest will be held all online this year, so anyone can tune in to experience it. Do some reaction noises, yeah.
I know. These are my – I'm reacting to all your good news.
Events include masterclasses with professional podcasters, panel discussions, feature interviews, and more. Some of APN's member shows will be there too. So join us for the virtual party from October 1st through 3rd. To check out the full lineup and get tickets, head to yegpodfest.ca. That's yegpodfest.ca.
And also Koji Ibuki's starter deck available September 26th, Bushy Road.
Don't know what that means. YAG Podfest is presented by the Edmonton Community Foundation in partnership with the LitFest and Alberta Podcast Network, of which Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who Assume Things About Each Other is a proud member. We are a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. I'm going to do a Thomas book thing now. I'm going to take a page at what? Thomas did a thing that I would like to now do, which is get us back on track in the sense that it's time for us to move into our rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire questions.
I've never done that before. Is it cool?
Here, well, no, hold on. I got to do my cartoon voice. So now Thomas has to do his cartoon voice and say rapid fire questions.
Do it.
It's time for rapid fire questions.
That's pretty good.
That was great.
That's a good voice.
Okay, Thomas, do you want to ask first or do you want Griff to ask first? Do you want me to ask first? You're the host. You get to decide.
Yes, because I have taken over. I think I will go first because I have taken over. Microwave food or home cooked food?
Microwave food.
Home cooked.
Home cooked?
I don't know if I'm being honest with myself there.
No, I can't cook.
All right. I think this is specifically for Griffin, but if Karen wants to try, she can try. Half orc or gnome as your character?
Gnome.
Half orc. I'm just trying to be opposite.
That does actually fit. Karen likes to play a lot of angry barbarian classes that just hit things. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Cheese pizza or pepperoni pizza?
Pepperoni.
Cheese.
Okay. Neil Diamond or Paul McCartney?
Boy, if you want your mother to love you.
I know. I would actually say Neil Diamond.
Yes, thank you.
But now my aunt hates me.
All right.
Neil Diamond.
Okay, now I'm saying directly to Griffin. Is your real dad actually Neil Diamond?
I'm going to actually wait till my lawyer is present, but I will be stating I am indeed a solitary man.
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Calvin and Hobbes or Peanuts?
Peanuts.
Calvin and Hobbes.
Karen, what a traitor.
We have nothing in common, my son and I. Absolutely nothing in common.
So have you read Calvin and Hobbes?
I have, yes.
Okay. Just to let you know, I could probably recite most of the Calvin and Hobbes things because I've read them at least 20 times.
What's your favorite Calvin and Hobbes, like, one speech bubble? Like, the phrase in one speech bubble, what's your favorite?
Specifically, the last thing Calvin says in the entirety of all of the series.
Whoa.
Which is just, I think, let's go exploring.
That's nice. I didn't know that it ended. Oh, my God.
That's a spoiler. Now I know how it ends.
They go exploring?
No, actually, you don't know if they go exploring. Bum, bum, ba. All right. One more. To fix things, would you prefer to use duct tape or masking tape?
Duct tape.
Duct tape seems more reliable.
He is my son. You are my son. Oh.
You know, I think we don't need handymen. We just need duct tape.
Right? Okay, Thomas, who goes next? You tell me.
You choose.
All right. I'm going to go first. The first one's a long question, but it still has to be rapid fire. Can you name four Neil Diamond songs? Griffin, go.
Kentucky Woman, Solitary Man, Forever in Blue Jeans, and I'm a Believer.
Nice. Thomas, go.
Sweet Caroline, America, Street Life, Song Sung Blue, I'm Alive, Kentucky Woman, Crackle and Rosie, Forever in Blue Jeans.
You win!
You really look like you're looking at a track list right now. I knew it!
Still, you pulled out some good ones like Street Life. No one says Street Life.
13-year-old knows Song Sung Blue. I don't even know that song.
Okay, more rapid questions. What am I making for supper? Guess.
Spaghetti.
Annie's macaroni and cheese.
No, tacos.
She wouldn't dare without me there.
Can your dad sing? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so his dad is Neil Diamond.
Thank you, Thomas. Yes, that was actually what went through my brain.
Sushi, yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah.
Black licorice, yes or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot.
Weird. Neither one of you are like me. Rap music or Beatles?
Rap.
Beatles. Oh my God.
Would you rather have belly buttons where your ears are or ears where your belly button is?
Oh my gosh, belly buttons where my ears are. Come on.
Ears where my belly button is.
Okay. Would you rather play Dungeons and Dragons with a dragon or play Dungeons and Dragons in a dungeon?
With a dragon.
Probably in a dungeon.
Last question. This is a tough one. A neutral, good, lightfoot, halfling sorcerer druid or...
Sorry, druid?
Druid. Sorry.
Wait. Sorcerer and...
A neutral, good, lightfoot, halfling sorcerer druid or a chaotic, evil, dragonborn, ghostwise halfling fighter?
I do the first one because it has a druid.
A ghostwise halfling isn't ideal for a fighter because they have a lot of natural stealth abilities. So, the sorcerer druid.
I have no idea what I just said.
I thought you were only allowed to choose one class, though.
Well, I was reading.
You can't technically multi-class.
You can multi-class.
Really?
I just read that somewhere.
It's crazy. I think that's only 5e. Okay. Cleric or paladin?
Paladin.
Cleric, because it's easier to spell.
Fruit gushers or fruit by the foot?
Fruit gushers. I think the fruit by the foot is kind of waxy.
Backflips or front flips?
Front flips.
Backflips.
Scooters or bikes?
Bikes.
Scooters.
When driving, podcasts or music?
Music.
Podcasts.
And last one. Anime or audio books?
I guess anime.
Audio books. Those are good ones. Did you just think those up off the top of your head?
I feel like that he did make it up on the spot because of, you know.
It's tough. It's tough when I'm being interviewed by the kid detective.
Speaking of detectives, if you are searching and sleuthing for any clues about where to find this podcast online, on Facebook, we are Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who Assume Things About Each Other. On Twitter, we are The Broad Gap. And our Buzzsprout page is bridging.buzzsprout.com. Please rate. Please subscribe. Please tell Steffi that Thomas has taken over and that...
Yeah, we really don't want to do it. Someone please tell Steffi. It would really be easier for us.
The question that I'm sure Thomas and I would both like to know, Griffin, is what is the number one absolute best top drawer excellent awesome thing about being 25?
I think when you turn 25, or so doctors and scientists say, your brain is fully formed. I might be getting that age wrong, but around
so,
here.
So you've got it figured out. You got life figured out, you know?
I've got it all. I've got it all figured out. I think I am better at thinking about the long-term effects of things and long-term decisions rather than like short-term gratification, like Pizza Pops. So I buy less of them now.
Yeah, I'm going to get a Pizza Pop. Who cares what happens to me in the future?
Who cares? Okay. I'm gonna be wearing black hoodies until I'm 29.
Okay, Pizza Pops will not reduce my life by 3 years.
No,
who knows?
They will not.
Yeah, if I was doing a pack a day in grade 8, I would have been, you know, feeling different. But
you know what? My generation, when we said pack a day or shorten my lifespan, it was about cigarettes, and you guys are talking about it as a pizza box.
No. That was the joke I was making. So
that's all right. I don't get my own son's jokes.
That's some good evidence of where I learned my humor from.
Griffin, Thomas, my co-host, and I would really, truly like to thank you for being our guest on Bridging the Gap Between Generations Who Assume Things About Each Other.
You're welcome. Mom, do you think Thomas thought I was cool? That was my whole deal here.
Just a second, I'll ask him. Thomas, did you think Griffin was cool?
Yes, very.
All right. It's probably because of the gushers thing. Yeah.
Goodbye, Griffin. Thank you very much for being our professional guest star on this podcast.
Griffin Cork, professional guest star. Never quite the lead, but man, I'm everywhere.
And have a very nice, what is it, evening? Afternoon? No one cares. We're in a time warp.
Bridging the gap between generations who assume things about each other.